Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. All month long, 30% off NFL or NCAA ties, clips, cufflinks. That's right, cufflinks from Cufflinks.com. Cufflinks.com/DVR, 30% off all January. Use promo code FOOTBALL30. That's right, baby, FOOTBALL30. And remember, you can also always use the code DVR20, DVR20, when you go to cufflinks.com/DVR. We've also got from December 26th to January 6th, a clearance sale, 30% off all sale items. Use promo code New Year's Sale. We got promo codes up the wazoo. All you got to do is go to cufflinks.com/DVR. And the great thing about Cufflinks is they don't make you hunt around for all these promo codes. They put them on the website. Go over there, take a look at the stuff they have. It's fantastic. Elevate your look, elevate your style when you go outside. Be like me. Wear cool cufflinks when you're going to the park with your kid. Get it done. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Now on to the show. Today is Wednesday, January 2nd, 2018, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We got a very special podcast for you today. That's right. I got somebody cool on the other line. He's refreshing. He's light, low calorie. And he's also the best podcaster in the known universe. It is Heath Solo.
Oh, I thought you got to go Donald or someone else. But yes, happy New Year to the DVR podcasting community and Patreons and all the good peeps out there. Wow, 2019, Folo. It's been, wow, we're here. We made it.
I know. It's been quite a year. A lot of people are saying it's not a great year or whatever, but you know what? I had a good year. Solo got married, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. No. Yeah, as much as the last few years have been up and down in a lot of people's lives, you know what? I got married to my soulmate this year, so it was a good year.
That's what I'm saying,
dude. Got to hang out with Axel Folo.
Yeah, we had a great time. This podcast network has taken off. We've been doing daily DVR. I've been having fun. The kid's happy. You know what? The state of the world is going to be what it's going to be, but we all have to kind of come together and support each other. And that's why we're here today, to support the top 10 TV shows of 2018 by myself, Axel Folo, and Heath Solo. That's all we're doing today. There's new stuff that's premiering. Things are coming up, but this week is dedicated to that. I wish that we had the time to have a five-hour podcast today, but we're not going to do that, are we, Solo?
No, can't do a five-hour pod today. So we're just going to have to focus on our list. I know we got a lot of awesome feedback.
Right.
But you know what? That's whole content for another pod. Why do a five-hour one when it's daily DVR? We could spread it out. So people get a little break, get to listen to what we have to say, you know, let it percolate, let it, like, flow through the bloodstream down to your toes, and then boom, we hit you over the head with something new the next day.
Exactly. So I want to thank Brett, Andy, Eileen, Scott, Gina. I think that's what we got. I think maybe there was another DJ Tim Hines, and I think there's another one I'm missing in all my notes here, but we got a lot of great lists, but we're going to save those for Friday is when I'm going to do the listener top 10. And today is just going to, it's just going to be Solo.
You know,
it
deserves its own, podcast, the listener top 10.
It does. That's what I, dude, when I started looking at it, I was like, honestly, to get in the right mind frame, we'd have to take like a half hour break because these people, you know, like I don't want to just rush through their lists. So this way I'll be able to take the time. So I apologize if anyone was running to get under the gun, but it's only because you and your fellow listeners gave me, I think I have 10 pages of lists. So that alone just to read would be 45 minutes. So I'm going to take the time to go through it on Friday and have a longer podcast. Maybe I'll find somebody to do it with me, but I might just be alone. But today we're going to do me and solo. So do you want to just jump right in and kick it off, buddy, or what?
Let's do it. I'm going to kick it off.
Okay, kick it off with number 10. Oh, we want to do honorable mentions first?
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick honorable mention. Okay. I have five.
Okay,
but cool. I'm not going to go in depth just in case one or two could be on your list, might not be. I'm going to go through them quick, and then if you want to jump in. So my top 10, what I think are the best 10 TV shows, but also what I had fun with, what I enjoyed, because one of my honorable mentions is Westworld. That didn't make my top 10, and here's why. I thought it was probably one of the better produced and shot, acted shows of the year. I just, for some reason, with me, I just kind of, I'm not going to say I lost interest. I just wasn't as into it as I was a lot of other shows.
Yeah.
I think not that it was getting too cute and trying to get too complicated. It just lost me a little bit. And that's why I didn't put it in the top 10, but it's still a quality show and I'm still going to watch it. And the effort there, it's an amazing show. So it would come in at like number 11 for me. And then, you know, I'm going to go through my top 10 of people like. I'm not necessarily saying the shows on my list are better than Westworld, but for this particular season, I had more fun and was more into these shows. So yeah,
that's
it's a little
what it's
different.
All, I mean, I think that's worth saying that when we go through these lists and we've done, you know, dude, this is like our 10th or something year of doing this. You know that. It's like 9 or 10 yeah. years of doing that. I should go back and find those pods. And actually, shouts to Andy for having saved most, if not all, of the film list and Lost Mythos and a bunch of Lost Revisited now when TalkShoe had awesome. Their failure. So, Andy, you rock and we love you. And sorry about the Vikings. We have to say sorry about the Vikings to Andy.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough.
That was a tough. You were right about Kirk Cousins.
I gotta admit, dude, I do not think Kirk Cousins is like a Super Bowl machine. On the other hand, ahead.
Oh no, and he screwed a bunch of my fantasy teams, so yeah. I just wanted to throw that up there, and I'll never draft him again.
I know, right? But one person who I think deserves some credit while we're on it is Nick Foles. I mean, come on, this guy. How many freaking times do you have to get the team to the playoffs until somebody says, well, hey, maybe he should start?
I know, right?
You know, like seriously. I mean, there's so many guys who are terrible. Case Keenum, and they get chance after chance after chance. So, all right. But anyway, back to the list. These are our favorite shows. We don't think that they're the best shows on TV. There may be we haven't seen all the shows that are on TV, but these for us are hit home. On a personal and emotional level, but also we think that the production acting is superior and that you should check them all out. And if you have any questions or anything, you're always, of course, welcome to email us at dvrpodcast@gmail.com or, you know, hit us up at Twitter at dvrpodcast and tell us what you think of the list. I like this. Now, I have Westworld on my list. What do you want to do, Solo? When it comes up on someone's list, let's just talk about it the first time it comes
up.
Yeah. Okay.
Except if it's your number one.
Yeah. Okay.
Or should we?
Okay, because it deserves more time, right?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So if you want to drop some Westworld right now,
yeah.
What number it is for you? Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, because we don't need to talk about it again. So my Westworld for me is number 7. I thought that it was I had so much fun with this season, and I think it would be high up there even if I wasn't podcasting on it, because I just really enjoy the ideas. I think it's one of the smartest shows on TV. I thought season 2 was just as good as season 1. I know a lot of people complained about it. There were some parts about it, Maeve's storyline, that I didn't particularly love, what the resolution was. But overall, when I think about a show that made me think, made me feel this season, it made me actually feel for the characters and have emotion like I really didn't have the first season. I love the puzzle aspect of it. I have no problem with the show being a puzzle. There's 350 scripted television shows on TV right now. I think everybody can calm down and we can have one show on HBO that purposefully tries to screw with our heads. I'm okay with that. You know,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, too. Yeah. People complain about it and it's like, okay, so out of that 350 shows, 150 of them are completely stupid and they're rote procedurals. So why are you complaining about Westworld? Like, let's be happy with what we get and let's be thankful. And that's what I am with Westworld. It wasn't a perfect season. It's not the best show on television to me, but it's very, very awesome. High quality acting, directing, production. And I love this storyline, and I can't wait to see what happens in season 3, especially when Aaron Paul is joining the cast. So I'm really excited about that.
Nice.
That's it, baby.
I agree with you. So another one on my honorable mention, and the only reason it didn't make my top 10 because it's too depressing,
okay,
was the second season of Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
It was one of those shows that me and Lady Soul kept watching. We loved the show, but it's so depressing. And I'm like, at the end, I'm just like, that was awesome. The acting's amazing. The direction it's going, the world building was expanding. But I was so depressed at the end of it that I just, I mean, I like a lot of dark shows, don't get me wrong. But so it's weird that Westworld and Handmaid's Tale are two shows that I think are two of the better shows on TV, but just didn't go in my top 10, just maybe because I didn't not necessarily connect with it, but it just, I wasn't like week to, well, Handmaid we binged on Hulu, but man, but it's so good. It's a really, really great show, so it was tough. So it's pretty much my 12th favorite show of the year, but it felt really, it was just a downer of a season, but man, it was very powerful. And, you know, I was thinking about it months later after we finished it.
Yeah, Perry and I did not finish Handmaid's Tale, actually, because we just ordered Hulu when they did the Thanksgiving special. And now we have it for 99 cents a month, limited commercial. And I'm happy to report that Andy was correct. And I think I have found the more you binge, the less commercials it gives you. So if you let it, you let it roll over to the next episode, by the third or fourth episode, you could have no commercials. It's so weird the way it works, but we just haven't got to Handmaid's Tale yet, so I don't have it on my list. But
that's the I was only expecting reason. It because I know you're a big fan. Yeah.
I'm sure it would make it because I like the first four episodes we watched. But I'm not going to put it on the list after only four episodes. My list is things that I've only seen the whole season.
Me too. Okay, and I just want to give a shout out. The Sinner season 2 came out, and The Sinner was on my top 10 last year. Didn't make my top 10 this year, but Carrie Coon is on this season, and she was unbelievable. That woman is one of the best actresses. I mean, she does Fargo. She does this. I mean, she's just all over the map. And I was just, was sucked in. She really, I mean, Bill Paxton was solid. And the young kid who was like the main kid of the season, he was fantastic. I don't know how old he is, but man, he knocked it out of the park. But Carrie Coon carried this show this season. So I don't know if season 2 is on Netflix yet. I know the first season is, but it was definitely an interesting season. Not quite good enough to make my top 10, but it was a nice watch.
I agree. I love The Sinner. I think it's one of the surprises.
Oh, you watched it.
What's that?
Oh, I didn't realize you saw it.
Yes, I saw both seasons, brother. To me, it's one of the surprise TV shows of the past couple years, you know? I did not expect it to be so good. And the only reason that this isn't on my list or my honorable mentions is because I watched it week to week, and I just think that this is totally a binge show. You know, like, for those of you who are now, you have no, it's not going to play week to week again, so you're going to binge it. It's the way to do it, and it works better that way. And when we missed a couple episodes and watched it, I liked the show almost twice as much because it really is a continuing story. And the acting, yeah, it's really – it's top-notch, man. Bill Pullman? Come on. That guy, he's just – there's some kind of weird nervous energy he has, you know? Like,
I know.
Kind of like a tick, right? Like, he reminds me kind of like Crispin Glover or these actors where there's, it's almost like Dennis Hopper, where there's like almost an electric current that's running through his body. And whenever somebody talks to him, it's like, he kind of like,
Oh, we got a new, Axel, a Bill Pullman voice. He does, and it's, and sometimes it's totally silent, but it's like you could see it in his expression.
Yeah,
like he's like, yeah,
very what a unique. Weird dude.
But yeah, it's a good show. It's under, it's one of those shows. Yeah, it's a USA, yeah, USA Network, and it's like under the radar, but it's, man, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, great show. Great show. All right. I have some honorable mention. Want to hear mine?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
My first honorable mention is Jack Ryan on Amazon.
Whoa.
I really like this show. The more I thought about it, the more I liked it. It wasn't as deep as Homecoming tries to be or as dramatic. It wasn't as fun as 24, but I think it was a really good kind of almost prequel season, setting up the character, and Wendell Pierce was awesome, and I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I did, and when I thought about shows, part of what I consider is, what would I be really happy is coming back? You know? Like, if I found out tomorrow that, oh, they're dropping a new season of this, how excited would I be? And then I thought, I remember looking through other lists and looking through all the shows that came out this year, and I look at Jack Ryan, and I just thought again and again, I really like that show. So that's on my list, baby.
Well, Folo, that is actually my number three show.
Wow.
Yes. I am a huge Jack Ryan movie fan. I've read some of the books. I went on a John Krasinski kick, and I was really, when I saw the trailer for this season with, I'm only human after all, don't put the blame on me. Like, I was in. And you know me, I do like procedurals. I do like, this has got a little more depth to it, but I just love the way they handled the Jack Ryan character. It was true to what he is and his origin. You know, has a military background, but he's an analyst and he's out of that, but then has to, you know, because of the situations, he has to go a different route. I'm just a big Krasinski fan. He's perfect for Jack Ryan. I love, there's, you know, spoiler alert, but I believe it's the first episode where he's fighting and a reveal is made, but then he holds a grenade up to get out of the situation. And it was just felt so real to me, and it just hooked me. And I even love the depth they go into with our lead bad guys. It's not just like terrorists, yeah, we got to defeat them.
Yep.
They give you their side of it. And right off the bat they do, and it gets in depth. Though, you know, you don't root for them per se, but you understand. And I think where a lot of shows are starting to go is not just we're beating the Russians or we're attacking, you know, Iraqis, and at least they're giving us some backstory of the bet. So you, not that you're going to side with it, but it gives you like both sides.
Yes. And I think that is, we live in they need to do that now, right, Solo? Because we live in a world now where people, we have more information. So we understand, like, you know, I mean, I guess it's not like the like Vietnam era where if you showed the Vietnamese as humans, people would be like, oh, you're siding with the enemy, you know?
Today,
both sides of the aisle, people understand that they're civilians. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, we don't, as a country, I think we're a bit more open about the fact that that's part of the war on terror, or which is what Jack Ryan is really about, you know? So I agree with you. That's a great point that they get into them. And I like the way that they don't get too into it. Like, Homeland sometimes gets silly, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't get silly. They kind of kept that story with them. Like, they kind of kept the sides us and them still. But mm-hmm. we got to see into that guy's family. And, you know, when they brought the wife into it, I thought they did it in a way that was more believable.
Yeah, and it made the connection of Pursue and Pursuee, it made it more, like, when you have the payoff and everything, it makes it more rewarding, but it means more.
Yeah.
And definitely. It's not just 1 hour, we caught the bad guy, which I like. There's times where I just want to see that. But this one, I was enjoying seeing both sides. And I think that's why this stood apart from a lot of other shows. And I just, honestly, I was into it. We binged it. Was just like, we couldn't stop, and I want more. So that's why it was number three for me.
That's awesome, buddy. Okay, cool. Now, the next one I don't think is going to be on your list. It's similar to Jack Ryan, actually, and I watched it just before, and it's The Looming Tower that was on Hulu.
Oh, have not seen that.
Okay, it stars Jeff Daniels is the lead of it, and it's basically the lead up to 9/11. And I thought they did a really great job with it. It wasn't too, again, it's kind of on the same vein as Jack Ryan in its kind of drama and action quotient. So it has a little bit more of that political drama going on. And they're pretty successful with it. And actually, the person, I'm looking it up online. I'm sorry, I didn't have it prepared. It's based on a book by Lawrence Wright. And the guy who I was really most impressed with is Tahar Rahim, who stars as the Muslim CIA agent. And he's been in a bunch of stuff. Let's see. He was in the Last Panthers miniseries that was on Sundance. Let's see. I don't know. This might have been his biggest thing here. He was in The Informant. But I think this may have been where most people would know him from. But he was fantastic at it. Oh, he was in A Prophet. That was a yes. I shouldn't forget. In 2009, he was the star of that. That was like the film of the year. That's a great film. So he is. He's a great actor, and he really made it for me. I think a lot of TV this year, to me, was just such great acting. You know, there's a couple of shows. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, The Looming Tower, it could have been written better. There could have been a bit more intrigue. But his acting alone, Tahir Rahim, was what made it for me. So I'm going to shout out The Looming Tower.
Cool.
All right. Solo continues, or Folo. Wait, okay. I'm Folo. You're Solo. Okay.
Yeah.
My last honorable mention is on a lot of people's list, and this just barely. Looming Tower and Jack Ryan were not going to make my top 10. I just wanted to mention them. But this one kind of made my top 10, but it's honorable mention, and it's Killing Eve.
Oh.
Did you see Killing Eve?
Yes, and it's my number six show.
All right. Do you want to talk about it first, since it's your six?
Sure. We just finished it. We saved the last two. I absolutely loved this show. It was a different take. You have, I guess, what Sandra Oh's character plays. MI6. Is she an MI6 analyst?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
MI5 or whatever. And she's obsessed with this hit woman, And play, is it Jodie Cormier or what's her name? I don't know the actress's name.
Her name is exactly that. Jodie Comer.
Jodie Comer. They're both nominated for Golden Globes and I believe SAG Awards as well. But she put a new twist. She's this sociopath, but yet she's got humor. You like kind of like her, and then you hate her, and then you like her, and then she's hilarious, and then you hate her, and then you like. She's like one line. She's like, "You hit me with a log." It was just so out of, but it was different, but it was intense, and I loved it. And I thought Sandra Oh was great. You could tell with her, you know, her breaking through with Grey's Anatomy with her quick, witty Shonda Rhimes dialogue, like her it worked, especially being around a lot of British people and Russian people in this show. And the payoff in the finale, did not expect what happened, and my jaw dropped. And it just sets up for a great second season. But loved the show. It was intense. The little kid who was in like two episodes, the girl.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. This little kid was amazing. I mean, little kid, probably like 11, 12 years old or whatever she was playing. But just, oh, man, I was into this right away and just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I have to agree, man. And this also was a tour de force in acting. Sandra Oh was great. Like you said, Judy Comer was great. Fiona Shaw, Owen McDonald played as Nico, the Russians. I mean, everybody in this was such a fully formed character. And it was written whip smart. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge who did that show Fleabag, and she was also the voice of the robot in what was it? Not Rogue One, Solo.
What? The movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, no, the movie. Sorry, I was like, yeah, Solo. He's like, what? So she is a great talent, and I agree, man. This was so much fun. It was more. I expected it to be kind of, I guess, more highbrow, and I was surprised that it had so much humor and violence and just really some great action set pieces, too.
Yeah.
You know, that really kind of knocked you out. So, yeah, Killing Eve, this was a great show, and if you haven't seen it, watch it because it's a whole lot of fun. That's one thing that a lot of people don't say about this show. They go on and on about how high quality is. It's so well written, the acting. But in truth, what draws you to each episode is that it's a really funny and it's propulsive. It just keeps on moving. You know, they're always going to a different country. They're meeting someone here. They're doing something. So it's not boring at all.
No, it's a great pace. Like you said, it's fun. It's intriguing, but yet it is serious. There's a lot of serious things going on, but it works.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like in the mood for a show like this. And it was almost like it was like kind of a Guy Ritchie-esque kind of
the way it went. And, that's good. That is great. Very, yeah, dude.
Yeah, very rock and roll a snatch in its own way. And I think that's why I was immediately drawn to it.
That is a great comparison, buddy. Heath Solo, getting it right. That is so true, man. So true. All right. You want to do your number 10?
Sure. My number 10 is a show I've been watching for almost 20 years, and it's honestly getting better and better. It's still solid. It's the classic Law & Order SVU. These last couple of seasons have been great. The 2018 arc, the end of 2019 to their 20th season – it's very well done. It lost a little bit at times after Chris Maloney left, but they've really gained back a lot of steam and it's really solid and they've simplified it a little bit, but yet keeping it complex at times. Just a great show, solid show. I love my Law & Order. So I put it in at number 10. It was just a very it's been very enjoyable for me, and it's running strong. So don't have to say too much more. Love you, Mariska Hargitay and the crew, and love my SVU.
And you love when someone commits sexual violence against someone else, right, Solo?
That's right.
You can't wait week.
Hey, I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit. You sound a little far away.
Oh, do I? Okay, I'm sorry. How about now?
Oh, that's better. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, pal. All right, I was just getting too excited.
No, that's good.
So my number 10 is same exact theme as you, and it's Survivor. It had two seasons this year. Ghost mm-hmm. Island in the spring and David versus Goliath that just concluded. And I am a Survivor freak. I love Survivor. And it just sounds like you were describing SVU the same way right. I describe Survivor. This is the 28th the 30th season or something of Survivor. And it just keeps on getting better. I can't believe they've been doing it this long and it's still so good. And the reason is probably the same reason why SVU is because they allow it to change. They allow it to grow, right? Mm-hmm. The series is a living thing and that's how Survivor is. And they allow the contestants to change the game. It gets better every year and it's more fun now than it ever was. So
that's great.
I have to say that's my number 10 Survivor. And I kind of cheated. I do have another number 10.
That's okay.
I pulled an Anna. You always have to pull an Anna.
Yeah, you do. Once a year at least.
Once a year at least you pull an Anna. All right. So my other number 10 is Atlanta season 2. I know so much has been spoken about this show that I don't have to say much about it. It's unique. FX allows Donald Glover to do whatever he wants with each episode. This season, all of the people on it are involved in so many other projects that he had to kind of do episodes that spotlight characters. And he did a fantastic job. There's, of course, the infamous, famous Teddy Perkins episode where he plays a Michael Jackson-like recluse. Every week you tune in, you don't know what you're going to get. And every week you're either emotionally blown away, visually, psychologically, it challenges you. And yet it still maintains kind of a story over the season. There's still kind of an mm-hmm. arc and there's growth of the characters. So even when they do a crazy episode, it's meaningful later and they mention it, you know? So Atlanta continues to be one of the best shows on TV. That's my number 10 tied with Survivor.
Yeah, I got to watch Atlanta. I've seen maybe the first four episodes of season one, loved it. I just haven't finished it, so that's on my list to watch. Cool. All right, my number 9 is a show that Axel told me I had to watch on Netflix, so I did. And I think I could pronounce it right. Bodyguard. I wanted to say My Bodyguard, but that's Whitney Houston.
Bodyguard.
It's just Bodyguard with Robb Stark from Game of Thrones.
My Bodyguard. That was a great movie from the 80s.
Oh, and My Bodyguard. Yeah, with Matt Dillon. Yeah, and Baldwin. Not the related Baldwin. But Bodyguard was intense. I'll admit, at first, I didn't know about Robb Stark. He wasn't your conventional leading man. He was a little annoying, I couldn't root for him. He was making some mistakes, but then it kind of, as you get towards the payoff at the end of the season and what he goes through, then you understand why he's acting the way he does, because he almost has like an emotional breakthrough. And the last two episodes are so worth the journey. They were phenomenal. The last two episodes were some of the best TV. It just really made – at first I'm like, I don't know. Okay, this is going a certain way. And then they pull something that I'm like, holy crap. And but then you're like, oh, okay, when you find out, but it was like, that would have been amazing. Because, you know, I made a joke, oh, they're going to bring in Jon Snow now to finish the series. But it really, man, it was a really great watch. And it comes in at number 9 for me. Is it on your list by any chance?
Bodyguard is not on my list. I liked it a lot, but it just didn't make it. It's definitely would be in my top 20.
Excuse me. Sorry.
No, it's okay, baby. We're live on the Filmlist Daily DVR. We got to have some throat clearing. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it, but there were some elements of it that didn't really propel it. Maybe it was tonally, maybe it was some of it was a little far-fetched, and I felt at the end, the kind of way it wrapped up was a little bit of a stretch, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But I still really liked it a lot, though. And I, too, was blown away by Robb Stark, because I didn't even like him in Game of Thrones, if you remember. He was not my favorite actor in that show. And I felt he was kind of, like, bland. But this showed me a depth to him that I didn't know that he had as an actor. And I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Cool, baby. All right. You ready for my number 9?
I am number 9.
I think number that this 9 is going to be on your list. I'm pretty sure it's going to be on your list. It played on YouTube. Yes, that's right. YouTube. I have a YouTube show on my list, and it is Cobra Kai, baby. Yeah.
All right. I have to reveal, since you just went, it's my number 1 show, baby.
Oh, wow. We did not tell each other our list, people. All right. So let's skip over it, and we'll talk about it when we talk about your number 1.
Okay. Yeah, it's my favorite show of the year, but we'll get to it. Okay.
So I'm going to go to number 8 then for me.
Perfect.
And that is Lodge 49. Is this on your list?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I did not see it.
That's cool. I think when you eventually get to it, you'll like it. A lot of people didn't see it, but it was very critically acclaimed. It's been greenlit for a second season. It stars Wyatt Russell, Brent Jennings, Sonia Cassidy, created by a guy named Jim Gavin. Great musical score. I did a special episode with my friend from thetruelodge.com about it. Go back and listen to that daily DVR. And it was just a fun, weird show. It's got a vibe kind of like Terriers, kind of like SoCal, acid-soaked, weed-drenched, private eye kind of strangeness going on. But it's like a guy who is mourning the loss of his father as well as his sister, because his sister is the star. Really, there's like 3 stars of the show, and I said them: Wyatt Russell, Brent Jennings, and Sonia Cassidy. Sonia Cassidy and Wyatt Russell are brother and sister, and they are mourning the death of their father. She is working at like a kind of Bennigan's. He is kind of like a surfer bum who repaired pools, and he walks into a lodge, you know, like a Elks Lodge, and he kind of happens into strange happenings there involving alchemy and magic. And it's just really, it's emotional. It's human. It touched me in a way that I didn't expect it to. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's not boring at all. It's weird. And I just love Lodge 49. So that is my number 8 of the year.
Nice. My number 8 is the HBO show, Axel.
Okay.
Limited series called Escape at Denimora.
Oh.
The Ben Stiller directed limited series.
Oh, this is Showtime.
Oh, Showtime. I'm sorry. Yeah. HBO and Showtime. It's Showtime.
This is getting good reviews, man.
Dude, it's good. Ben Stiller directed the hell out of this. It's not, you know, it takes place, you know, a lot in a prison. And it's not like wide open, like I loved the show Prison Break, and it really examines so much of the prison. I mean, it's called Prison Break. This one, the way it's shot in the prison, it's very, it feels like you're there. It feels like you're a cellmate with these guys. And it's very, and of course it takes place kind of near Syracuse where I went to school. So I know Western upstate New York very well. And it, Benicio del Toro, though he's a very strange guy, he does some weird, quirky things, kind of like Bill Pullman. But man, he's fantastic. Paul Dano plays kind of a different role than I've seen him at, but he was fantastic. And I have to say, I hated her in this, but Roseanne Arquette was phenomenal. Wow. And also Eric Lang plays her husband.
Oh, okay.
But he's got like some sort of buck teeth put in, so you don't know it's him. You see him in the credits, and then it took me two episodes to find out who he was. He almost steals the show. He's so good.
Wow.
And I don't know if a lot of people will even know it's him, but you know, he came on the scene really big in Lost and in The Bridge.
Yeah, he lost a lot.
Show The Bridge. Yeah, Lost alum. But this, I mean, Ben Stiller, you know how, you know, we talk about how, I mean, Ben Stiller's not a first-time director, but you'll get actors who direct for the first time, and they pull out these artsy shots. And, you know, I think we talked about it off
definitely.
Air.
Yeah, definitely, because they have the opportunity to.
Right. But it was just, I love that. I get sucked into that. And, and it just, and what's great is, now, did you see this?
I watched about 15 minutes of the first episode. I really liked it. But then I didn't watch it. I don't know why. There's a lot of stuff on TV.
No, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely check it out. It's definitely worth your time, especially in binge form. But what's amazing is what I really liked was, you know, it's sort of a spoiler, but not really. They'll do the penultimate episode. You know, you have these two guys who are going to escape from prison. It's a real story. It's going to happen, but that doesn't spoil anything. But they devote an episode to show you how they got to prison, what they did or didn't do. And this episode starts out with you're following a cop who you haven't seen before, but you're like, you forget it's the same show, but at the same time, you're like, what's going on? And then, you know, there's some reveals and stuff, and that's all I'll say. But they really, this was just, I kind of think it's sort of almost a masterpiece. I'll be honest. I loved it, and it was so
wow.
You want to talk about acting? This unbelievable. You got David Morse in it too. Bonnie Hunt's got a role in it, but it's just, man, this show really. I thought it was so well done, and it just really, wow. It blew me away, and I probably, because we just finished it, it might have been higher on my list as it percolates, but man, I really enjoyed the show a lot, and it's my number 8, could be higher, but you know, when you're talking top 10 about 350 shows plus,
yeah,
you know, it's minuscule, but man, it's worth a watch. Sit down, binge it, and really, it's so well done. And I give a lot of kudos to Ben Stiller. He did a remarkable job with this show.
That's awesome, dude. I will definitely check it out. And I've heard a lot of people talking about it, and I've seen it a lot on people's best of lists. And I know what you mean. You know, I think TV is the place to do that. If you're like a first-time director, because you can go all out for one scene in one episode. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of a little bit of inconsistency can be forgiven more so, I believe, in television than in a film, where tonally it's more important to keep the same tone, where you can mess around inside of individual episodes in TV.
Yeah, a perfect example is, because Lady Soul and I watch this, they did a Lifetime movie of this, which was 2 hours, and it's totally, as you know, Lifetime movies, totally different.
That's awesome.
the details. There's some gruesome stuff in it, too. I actually had to turn my head away from one thing.
Ooh.
One thing, but not what you probably think. Let's just say there's a gruesome, maybe cut in a body scene that I watched that I'm fine with, but yet there's a toilet scene I couldn't watch. So anyway.
All right, we'll leave it there, Solo.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, but no, fantastic. It's worth it. Watch it when you can, because it's worth the 7 episodes. And the 7th episode's like an hour and 30 minutes, so it's almost like a movie, the last episode.
All right, I'm definitely going to watch this then.
Yeah, you have to.
That's awesome. I'll enlist the wife to do that. All right, cool, man. All right, so we already talked about my number 7, which was Westworld.
Okay,
yeah. So I'm down to my number 6.
And that's perfect, because I have a number 7, but Killing Eve was my number 6.
So all right,
be
cool.
Caught up after we talk about it.
All right, so then I'm going to say this, and you'll be like, that's my number 4. So my number 6 is Homecoming. Is that on your list?
It's not on my list, Flo.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Well, it would have been an honorable mention. It would have been an honorable mention. And the reason why for me, I'm just going to say real quick, I thought it was well done. I'm still in the process of thinking about it.
Okay.
And going through it. That's why I didn't want to put it on my list just yet. Just because, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I didn't love it like most people did. I enjoyed it. It just, I'm still on the fence about it.
Okay. That's cool. I understand that. For me, I just absolutely loved it. And I've talked about it so much on this show already. You can go back and listen to the last episode. Tim and I talked about it with an email from Andy. And 2 weeks before that, I did an extended dive into Homecoming. So I won't go too far into it today, except to say Sam Esmail is my man. I'm still listening to The Watch. If you go to the Ringer Network, subscribe to The Watch with Andy Greenberg and Chris Ryan, and they did their best of TV, and Sam Esmail comes on and they do their top 10 lists. And just listening to him talk, I found out so much cool stuff about the show, and just Andy letting me know that they actually use the scores of other movies, that it's not just, it sounds like Vertigo. That's the score from Vertigo.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Isn't that awesome? So
did not know that.
Yeah. So there's like the score from Vertigo, All the President's Men, a bunch of other like 70s type, like political thriller type films. He actually uses the actual scores. So it's just all around. It was so creative, and I love the episode lengths. And actually, I found out by listening to The Watch that the reason why the episodes are the length they are is because he thought the story that they told in the original podcast should be told as is. So they just basically shot whatever it was. And that's how long the episode was.
Oh.
I think that's great. So my number 6.
Yeah, I like the length. Yeah.
Homecoming. I think as you think about it, it'll rise up in your
oh,
list.
I'm sure.
And also I'm just sure. Kudos again to, what's his name? Stephen James, who played Walter. That's like my breakout actor of the year. He was mesmerizing to me. That guy should be a superstar. He should be the most popular actor in America. I was that taken with
fantastic.
Him. He was fantastic. Yeah. All right, Solo. So let's see your number 6.
All right. Well, 6 is Killing Eve. I have my number 7.
Oh, 7. Sorry.
That's okay, buddy. That's why I'm here. It's a show that came back. That came back, and I was worried because the previous short return was good but not great. But then they came back with this season, and it actually hit it out of the park. I thought the writing was so much better. It was on point. It continued the story. It had some great one-off episodes, but it's Fox's The X-Files.
Awesome.
Number 7. it was a really great season. It really saved the series for me. There are some fantastic episodes. The mythology episodes made sense. There's kind of a tricky thing, because in the limited series where they did like six episodes, a lot happened in the final episode, and it was like a cliffhanger. And then they kind of like did the season like it never happened, but there's a reason why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So that was at first like, how the hell are they going to do this? But I thought they executed it right, and it was all, and it just it really flowed this season, and it's just it was a lot of fun, and I felt like it was old X-Files.
Yeah, baby. I have to concur. I thought about putting it on there, but I think it was because of the uneven nature of the episodes. I mean, there were some of those episodes that I thought may have been the best episodes of TV this year.
Right.
I loved them.
Some that were like, yeah.
Yeah, and then others that I basically like don't even remember what they were because I hardly was even paying attention. You know? So it was so uneven to me. But I know they're not making any more, but I wouldn't care if they did. Like, keep on making X-Files, you know?
Yeah, I'm good now. I thought it was done the right way, and I'm satisfied finally. Yeah,
I say either way, right? Like, if they make them and they're fun, good. But you can see that they were just kind of experimenting and trying different things out. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But just to be with those characters again, it was worth it. All right, Solo, we're taking a little mid-ad break right over here to talk about cufflinks.com. Once again, 30% off sale items from the 26th to January 6th. So you got 4 days left on that. And also get 30% off NFL and NCAA items. All you got to do is go over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order. No minimum. And we're going to be doing a giveaway. All right. I think on Friday, I'm going to do another giveaway. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I think I'm going to let people choose. I've got a bunch of stuff that Cufflinks has sent out to me, and I'm going to let you take your pick about what you want from this Cufflinks giveaway, baby. So tune in on Friday. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Listen to the podcast. You're going to get 30% off all the sale items. Use promo code New Year Sale. We got NFL and NCAA. It's a great month over on Cufflinks. Elevate your look. Step out of your house feeling good about yourself. And remember, they've got all that kind of geek stuff, but also engravables, new arrivals I'm looking at, Mickey's 90th anniversary Vermeil silhouette tie bar. Come on, people. Mickey's 90th anniversary Vermeil crystal cufflinks. Whoa, those are beautiful. They've got beautiful stuff. Go over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Now back to the show. All right, we're back from our little ad break there. Thank you, Solo. I appreciate your time while I pimped out cufflinks.com/DVR, baby. Go there. All right, number five on my list is a show that I know is on your list. I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's your number three. And it is The Americans on FX, the final season, season six.
Well, Folo, if you were listening, Jack Ryan was my number three.
Oh, okay, number two.
But, yeah, number two. The Americans is number two on my list, yes.
All right. So I have accidentally knocked out your top three.
Yeah, my top three is knocked out, but that's okay.
And we haven't gotten to any of mine yet. So, let's talk about The Americans when we get there. What's your number five?
My number five is HBO's Sharp Objects.
Okay.
The limited series. With Amy Adams, Patricia Clarkson, Henry Cherney, amongst other great actors. This one was one of those week to weeks I had to keep watching. Like I was obsessed with it. I was obsessed with the mystery shot again. I mean, I'm sounding cliche, but all these shows are shot well. And it's just, they're like major motion pictures, these limited series. I mean, Homecoming and Escape at Dannemora. It just, you know, Sharp Objects, they just, man, they get some talented filmmakers out there. And was obsessed with this show. And I know it's a book. The same author, I believe, did Gone Girl. And also, I forget what the other – there's a couple other things she has written.
Jillian something, right?
Yeah. Damn it. Sorry, DVR, Podcast Daily listeners. But everyone's probably saying the stuff I'm missing right now while we speak. But this – man, it had me going both ways, and then it really literally ends with the shocker. And then in the credits, you see stuff. Like,
oh, okay. You see, like, ooh, no spoiler.
You see a certain murder happen really fast. You have to see it to understand. It's not, you know, not a spoiler, because there's, girls that have been getting murdered through the years. And then Amy Adams comes to her hometown. She's a journalist, but she's an alcoholic, raging alcoholic. And she's going there for the story in her own town, but she's.
Oh, we got a relationship. Why have I not watched this? I don't know what.
Dude, it just came. I don't know.
I'm telling you, dude, it's just, you know, when there's so many TV shows out there, even me, Mr. Billy TV, I miss shit. And this just came at a time.
You
know, we're going to watch it.
I think it might have been the summer.
Yeah.
It might have been the summer. And, you know, we had a lot going on, you know, in the summer. But it just it sets it up, and it's just, man. And then it's one of those shows where, you know, the pieces are there and they're not, but they are. And then you go, it's almost, I want to rewatch. I'm definitely going to rewatch it at some point. But I believe it stayed true to the book for the most part. But regardless, it is, again, talk about world building in this small town. It's like this fake Southern town in the edge of Missouri. It's not a real town, but it's just, man, it's interesting. It's a murder mystery on top of it all, which I love. And it's just, oh, and also, what's her face from Big and Weeds, the actress, Elizabeth Perkins.
Yes.
She's phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. She plays like a rich, drunk mom. It's fantastic. This was one of those shows I was like, damn, it was rewarding again. So that's why it comes in at number 5. In a weird way, it bumped out Westworld because I wanted to talk about Sharp Objects so bad. But I really enjoyed this series big time.
That's awesome. I did not get a chance to watch this. My wife and I, we just talked about it the other night. We've been kind of finishing stuff off that we fell off on, like Castle Rock we finished, and then the top two things we want to watch now are Sharp Objects and Handmaid's Tale. So those are going to be our next up.
Yeah, you guys will get into both of those. You'll be,
awesome. All right, so I'm going to do my number 4.
Okay.
And I know this is not on your list, so we're not going to have a problem with that. And it is the Lifetime show You, starring Penn Badgley, created by Greg Berlanti and Sarah Gamble, based on a book series.
Does it come on Sunday nights?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Lady Solo loves this show.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, though.
This is... I mean, I didn't know what to think. I knew right away that Penn Badgley plays this guy who's stalking this girl, and it's about just him being this creeper. He speaks directly to the audience through narration, not by breaking the fourth wall. Like, he doesn't look at the camera and talk to you. You hear him talking. Yeah. Okay.
Like, so what we're doing now, we're talking to you, breaking the fourth wall.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's not, but I mean, I think that there's a difference there. And I think that the fact that they made that choice, it actually kind of makes the show different and better and more believable, but it's insane. It's crazy. He stalks her. Of course, he's got to go after her friends and dudes who are, but he is fantastic. Every episode was fun. The girl who plays the object of his desire, Elizabeth, Her name is Elizabeth Lahl, and she plays the perfect, like, Brooklyn, New York kind of hipster girl, like, totally self-absorbed, young, just wants to experience and have fun, and she's on her Instagram, and she kind of talks like this, and, like, she has a kind of affectation. It's like, she's really great. You really grow. They write it so you do not like her, but he is totally in love with her, but yet he's so interesting, but he's the stalker. And then she kind of becomes, at some point, she kind of becomes a better character. So there's actually development in the show. I was surprised by it. I love to watch it every week. When I told my wife my list, she was like, "You really love that show." She was like a little worried, you know? But I was like, yeah, I do. I think it was one of the best shows on TV this year. I absolutely loved it. It was so fun. It's written so well. I think it's maybe the best thing that Berlanti has done on TV yet, because it has his same kind of fun, jokey, like slick aesthetic like he does in the DC shows, but there's a drama element that they really pull off in it. So I love it. I thought it was great. So that's my number four, you.
Okay. My number four is the TNT show, The Alienist.
Oh!
Which we talked about briefly. Did you forget about it?
I forgot about it. This would have made my list and I would have bumped off. I don't know what I would have bumped off, dude. I forgot that was this year. I love The Alienist. All apologies. Dude, it's immediately added to my list.
All right. You pull it, Anna, even more.
I love it.
Yeah, The Alienist. Daniel Brühl, Dakota Fanning. Is it Luke Adams? Is
that Luke Evans.
I love that dude. Luke Evans. I love that dude. That dude's a great actor.
He just surprises you.
You know. Yeah, he's wonderful. I like him a lot. I remember him in, I think, The Raven or something with John Cusack.
Yeah, he's more than just a pretty face, that guy. He's actually a good actor.
Yeah, he's actually a really good actor. But it's like turn of the century, Jack the Ripper type times. There's murders going on of little kids, and they're trying to figure it out. And it's just there's, of course, more to it. I you know, it's funny. We do these lists, and I don't want to go too in-depth because in case people haven't watched it but it's just, again, it was, again, another one of those shows. I was so into it every week. I'm like, you know, when a new episode would go, let's watch The Alienist, And I almost wanted to, sometimes we saved a couple just so we could have two. Yeah. Just down to the first episode, down to the finale, it was just awesome. And I love that, you know, Jack the Ripper type. You know, the Nick, that type of turn of the century thing. I have to have like one of those shows a year. And, but this one hit it out of the park, and I really love Daniel Brühl. It's fantastic. Like we said, the whole cast is, but it just, man. And I think there's one guy who's a redheaded cop. I think he's also, he didn't have a beard, but he has a beard. I believe he's the same actor in my show Ripper Street that I love. Another BBC show.
I would guess it probably is.
I think it is the same guy. I'm almost positive it's the same dude. But, man, this show, Axel, I love man, it was just yeah, it's tough to articulate because it has been a while, because I think it was January or February, the beginning of the year. So it has been a while. But it was one that I had to Google shows of this year because I didn't want to forget anything. And I, you know, like you, The Alienist, I was just like, oh man, had such a great time watching that show. Yep. And it just, again, murder mystery, investigation, so much great detail, to uncover in this mystery. And it just, it was very satisfying.
Yeah. I have to say, when I think about The Alienist, it reminds me of you. And Lodge 49, and
Cobra. Oh, I think that you, as in me.
No, the TV show.
I'm like, wait,
well,
what?
You too, Solo. Well, not really. This is not you at all. Cobra Kai too, which is, there was a lot of the shows that made my list these newer shows that were like a way better than they had any right being. You know, like right. When they announced they were going to make The Alienist, this book was such a big book, right? They were going to make the movie for so long. And then they would say, okay, Cary Fukunaga from True Detective is going to direct it. And I think he wrote some of it too, but I know he directed almost all of it. And I thought, okay, we'll see. Maybe it'll be good. I'm usually not into period pieces. It blew me away. It's not boring at all. It's not like, it doesn't get bogged down in like the dirty streets. It like keeps it moving. It's fun. And I totally fell in love with Dakota Fanning. I never.
Oh, yeah.
She was awesome in this.
She rocked. Yeah.
I never liked her before. Following
her. Yeah.
I was never a big fan of hers. And then this, I was like, wow, she really can act. Like this, she blew me away. I loved her character.
And how could we forget the Jets coach, Bunny Colvin from The Wire, Robert Wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, who follows me on Twitter. And that's my Twitter buddy. Shout out. That's a great actor.
He's awesome.
Yeah, we agree on a lot of political things. And he's a cool dude. And he was great in that. Yeah, there's so many. They just put quality into this, even when they were casting the small roles, you know? And you could tell it was a real ensemble. When they won an award at, I don't know if it was the Golden Globes, I think, when they won some awards, they were all together and it was so, because I follow him on Twitter, like they were just all congratulating. It seemed like it was a real ensemble of actors together having fun. And I know they're doing another season too.
Oh, they are. They are. Yep. Oh, nice.
So nice. That's awesome. So that's great. That's your number four. So now my number.
That's my number four.
Now go to my number three. You ready?
I'm ready.
And I know what yours are, so I know it's not on your list. And that is, actually all three of mine aren't on your list.
Okay. So we got to get rolling a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's roll it, baby. Number three for me is The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Is that good, huh?
Yep. I've talked about it extensively on the pod. It is fantastic. I've covered it so much. I am going to do a special episode on the sixth episode of The Haunting of Hill House, where I'm going to just kind of go over the whole episode because it's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Not only, I don't want to give away what it does, but it's one of those like kind of set piece episodes that stands alone, but also perfectly unites the rest of the story. This is a horror. It was scary. It was funny at times. It was weird. The acting was great. Our man Dario 2.0 is kind of the star of it, along with Timothy Hutton, and of course Michael loved him Houston. In Tremé too. His character in Tremé was fantastic.
Yeah. He's good.
But the direction is great. And overall, it's a family drama. That's what this is. It's a family drama. It's about family and relationships. And the horror stuff is interesting enough and cool enough to keep it going. But it's the characters that bring you into this show. And that's why it's this high on my list. Number three, cool. And actually my number, I'll roll into my number two and then we'll do your 3-2-1s. Okay. My number two is The Terror, which I absolutely loved. Yep.
Yeah.
AMC.
Did not see it.
This one again is a horror tale about they're in like the 17th century or 16th century. Their boat is caught trying to make the pass, you know, the the Northwest Passage. So they get caught in the ice, and there's like monsters and indigenous peoples and legends involved. And again, though, what propels this? The acting. It's mostly all men. and it's like Shakespearean acting on display. The greatest of the greats, when you think of the people that you'd want to see, these Englishy dudes who know how to act, just knock it out of the park with this show. It's, I mean, when I realized that it was on, that it had been made this year, I was like, wow, this might be my number one show. I think everyone can guess what my number one show is going to be. I talk about it and say it's the best show on TV all the time, but I had to put this at number two because of the acting. And I think that as an actor yourself, Solo, you really got to see this, because this again is an ensemble. And I'll just say Jared Harris is fantastic. If you remember him from Mad Men, Tobias Menzies, Paul Reddy, Ian Hart, these guys just act their asses off. And it's so also very scary. So you are kind of like, oh, what's going on?
It better be.
Almost the whole time. Yeah, the terror. The terror. Okay, now my number one, and then we'll go to your number three, two, one, which we kind of talked about already. And I don't really even need to go into too much depth about this show, because if you listen to this show, you know how much I love it. And that's Better Call Saul. That is, and you're still saving this up, right, Solo?
Yeah, I watched the first couple of episodes. I, with Better Call Saul, I tend to start it and then save it for some reason till I'm in the mood, and then I binge it out.
Yep. Well, I watch it week to week, and I just can't say enough about how it is not even a question to me that it is the best show on television. I have absolutely no qualms about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Game of Thrones is a bigger production, and I give them credit for what they've accomplished. But if there was one television show that I could work on, it would be Better Call Saul. I think that they are the most professional when it comes to the production, the confidence, the direction, the cinematography. The acting is ridiculous. The fact that they took what was a joke and made it into the best show on television. I mean, literally,
right?
This was a joke. They were doing the Breaking Bad podcast, and they said as a joke, we should do a half-hour show called Better Call Saul. That's the origin story of Saul Goodman. And they just kept on talking about it, and they made it into the best show. This season was amazing. It gets better every season. I don't know what they're going to do. Rhea Seehorn is my favorite actress on television.
She is unbelievable.
She's unbelievable, dude.
I was captivated with her right away. I'm like, I just, the way she speaks, but she's just so good.
It's beyond, dude. It's beyond.
Big beyond. Yeah. She's, you know, I mean, well, you know, one thing about our list, we're talking about a lot of these actors and actresses that aren't big names. But man, what talent. From the dude from Homecoming to Rhea Seehorn to, I mean, just across the list, it's just, there's some.
And I don't want to forget Bob Odenkirk, because he is, God. I mean, how did I ever expect that the guy from Mr. Show would go on to be one of the greatest television actors of our generation? I had no idea. But Bob Odenkirk is ridiculously good as Jimmy McGill / Saul Goodman / whoever he is. I mean,
it's like the role, you know, how certain roles are just make, I mean, that's his role of a lifetime. It was, and you know, later in life, he got it, like, just like Bryan Cranston with Breaking Bad.
Yep. And Jonathan Banks. All these people.
Jonathan Banks, old time actor, but just Mike, where he does that thing at the side of his mouth. He's like,
just amazing, dude. I can't. Giancarlo Esposito this season.
Oh gosh.
And the absence. I don't want to spoil, but there's one actor who departs the show. For those, because I want people to see it so badly. I don't want to say anything about it because it's so awesome.
But it was just But his character is just enough, I think. It was a perfect timing.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
The show just kept on going. You thought, something could happen here. You're losing a tent pole of this show. And it didn't even skip a beat. It just kept on going.
Yeah, propels the moving forward, though. Like certain characters, The Wire, certain shows, you lose a character you love, but then it really does help it.
That's a great point.
It's just kind of in a weird way, but it just – sometimes when you lose such a great character, you get upset. And sometimes it can ruin a show, don't get me wrong. But the better shows, like Better Call Saul and The Wire and whatnot, it propels it and it adds – because Bob Odenkirk takes on more with his character, and it just makes it even better.
Yep. And I also want to shout out Michael Mando, who plays Nacho. And he's great, too.
I love that dude.
You're like...
Dude, that dude is so good. I see him in other things now, and I'm so glad. Yep. Like, he's getting better work and stuff. Because he's so good. I love that dude.
He's fantastic. So that's my list, Solo. Now, we already mentioned your 3-2-1 in passing, but let's start with your number three.
Three, we talked about Jack Ryan extensively. Yep.
That's true.
Okay. But now, 1 and 2... we haven't talked about, but people know. So number two, the final season of The Americans, FX show.
Yep.
I was worried coming in because the previous season I didn't like. It was slow. It had some good parts.
Agree.
But because I love the characters so much, I stuck with it. But it was just – there's certain things. There's basically – they were developing the daughter's character pretty much in that season. And now watching the final season and going back, it makes sense why they did it, but it just wasn't it wasn't entertaining. Okay. Let's just put it that way. As much, but this final season, I absolutely loved. I thought there's a big moment where, the Stan reveal when he finds out things, It couldn't have gone better than the way I thought it should. And I just, following this couple being sleeper Russian agents in the United States in the 80s and dealing with their kids and family and friends, and then the whole changing of the guard with world powers and the summit coming up in the late 80s. I mean, it just... you can root for these people because they don't win necessarily in the end, but you're on this journey with these characters, and I was very satisfied because I was afraid certain things were going to happen that maybe didn't. But it's one of those shows I think I'm hoping people who haven't seen it will somehow watch it, because it's one of those shows where you can watch it at any time because it's a period piece in the 80s and some flashbacks. You can always watch it. The test of time's not going to ruin it, because they really capture that time period of the 1980s and how, espionage and spying was a lot harder. You didn't have the technology we have today. But yet, it was easier because you could go undetected and get away with things more than now. So it's twofold.
It was more people hacking than hacking.
Yes, and that's what makes this series work, because it's about the actual physical.
Yep.
Yeah, the people hacking, not just, we got a bug here, we got a camera here, done. No. When they actually have to record someone in a room, they have to break into the room. They actually have to get reel-to-reel tapes, and it wasn't that easy.
Yeah, dude, the minutiae of spycraft.
What's that?
The minutiae of spycraft.
Oh, yes. Okay. I thought you said the new show spycraft.
No, the minutiae, yeah. They really get down into it, and you get to see the way I'm glad that you have this listed so high, just a little bit higher than me. I agreed that I didn't like the fifth season as much. The fifth season, I was disappointed. And when I got to the end of the sixth season, my general thought was that they should have started the final stage earlier and really kind of started it in the fifth season.
Yes.
You know, and I still feel that way, but upon reflection, because it has been many months since the show went off, I have to say that it really did stay true to itself, you know, in the mm-hmm. pace of it. And it was a kind of show that would go very slow and then have some crazy intense action scene. And then you have to see the reverberations of that, because that is kind of the life they led. Right.
Yeah. And two of them, Elizabeth and Philip, think about the two opposite ends they were going to.
Yeah.
Like it was just, it just, and Carrie Russell, I got to give, I mean, she'll probably win the Golden Globe. I don't know if she won the Emmy. Do they do the Emmys already for it?
No. So the Emmys are coming up. I think.
So,
I think.
Don't they happen?
They did the Emmys. Yeah. She won the Emmy.
Yeah. She won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she deserved it. Because, I mean, her overall arc of the show, she was – when I saw her in Mission Impossible 3, and I'll mention this to the day I die, she has a small part, but it's an action part. And you're like, yeah. Felicity's kicking ass. I was like, she needs some sort of action movie or show. And then The Americans come out a couple years later, and I'm like, thank you, acting gods. It made so much sense.
Yeah, man. She kicked ass. And especially in these past two seasons – when she was kind of doing a lot on her own, she was really kicking ass and was cold-blooded, man. Yeah, this was a great mm-hmm. season, dude. I was a little down on it, but the more I think about it, the more I think it was in keeping with the rest of the series. It's slow, punctuated by action. And we have to give a shout out to Stan Beeman, great actor. Great actor, and what a great role. And I think that there's so many, even the kids on it, even when they spent too much time with the daughter, she was still a great actress.
She was good. I understand the what happened with Homeland 2, the son was kind of
but I know he needed to be taken to karate.
Yeah. But you know, it worked out. Like, he was a good hockey player. And I mean, it was because I like the stuff with him and Stan, though, because that was like his surrogate dad, pretty much. That was like his best friend, you know, and that saved his character for me, because I did like their dynamic. But yeah, man, it just, you know, they brought in Margot Martindale. Frank Langella was on for a season, you know, a few seasons ago. Dylan Baker had a great role, short arc. Even Stan's newer partner. I liked both his partners, but the African-American actor I just saw him in something else, but I just loved, I don't know. He's so like,
yeah, dude, everybody, this show too is like the other ones we're talking about. Even the people you just saw once or twice were really great actors and were given an opportunity to inhabit the role.
Oh, and there's also wasn't there a cameo by someone in Russia? But then they didn't really go back to it, but it was like,
I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but it was just like, oh man.
They did
like,
a lot of what that. What a crush. Dude. It just, life so goes good. On.
Life goes on. Exactly. Life goes on. But The Americans, when it's all said and done, it may be like, it definitely be my top 50 shows of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where, because it's been so tough, especially the last 10 years. There's been so many new shows. Like, I have my old faithful shows growing up, and when I, you know, but now there's just so many great shows that would be harder than doing a movie list. But man, the show just all in all, just really, I mean, you could say it was slow a lot of the times, but the acting and the characters are so damn good that it had me. It had me every week.
Yep. Me too, Matt. You know, it was, I have to say, I think overall, I have to admit that I think the series was a bit uneven. And I think that at certain times they spent a little bit too long on rolling out some plots that they could have given us a little bit more of the better stuff that we know they had, because they did it in other storylines.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
In general,
it wasn't perfect.
Yeah, it wasn't on the top most level of shows, but it was up there.
Yeah, overall, like, there were some seasons that were fantastic. Some were a little weaker than others. It like you said, it wasn't a perfect series, but when you binge it, and if you're into the character, because for me, as I said before, if I'm into the characters, I'm in for the long haul.
Yeah,
that's why I've been having trouble with The Walking Dead. I didn't even watch, haven't even watched this season. I just finally, like, I want to see it through, but I'm just, it's
you ain't
just
missing
becoming,
nothing, man.
Yeah, I know. It's becoming monotonous to me, unfortunately. Oh, and
yeah,
it's just, you know, I think it ran its course for me. You know, I worked with one actor, Ross Marquand, who is in the show, and I like to watch it to support him. Not that me watching it's going to help his career at all, but, you know, because I've worked with him.
He's
such a good dude.
He's great, but it's not.
He's a great actor. Yeah. And so he, like I kind of like people I know who are in shows or I've worked with, I tend to want to watch him as, you know, just to back it up. So I do have it saved on my DVR. Yeah.
Well, the acting is not the problem in The Walking Dead. I think the actors
No. It's the other side of the camera, possibly.
Yeah.
The actors aren't the issue because, man, there's some really great actors on that show. So, all right. So I have my number one and then a quick question for you after that before we wrap up. So let's get into my number one, Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
It was your number, what, 9? Okay. So I'm going to go in real quick. Huge Karate Kid fan growing up. Karate Kid is one of my favorite movies of all time. As Heath Solo is working on his top 500 favorite films of all time, Karate Kid, I believe, was in the top 30. It's moving up. Anyway, things are changing. But, well, I say, this was the perfect compliment as, a, you know, 30, 35 years later, where are they now with the cast? The creators knew what they were doing. They knew who these guys who did this show understood how this needed to be done. It was a half-hour format. It had some drama, comedy, so many throwbacks to the first movie, down to young hearts beat fast when they're at golf and stuff. Like, it just that I mean. It was. I wanted to drink Coors Cutter just because Johnny was drinking. But you get the sense right off the bat, Johnny's down on his luck by losing that tournament. It screwed up his life, and when you think about it, you know, Daniel kind of did steal his girl. He wasn't all innocent, but you know, but like I was so rooting for Johnny, who I hated when I was a kid. I was so scared of him. And we hated him and Cobra Kai and everything. Now I'm like Cobra Kai all the way. Just changes. But William Zabka, man, what a performance. And we've talked about this before, I think, on a pod.
We did.
I just hope he gets better offers and does if he wants to do. But he was phenomenal. Ralph Macchio was phenomenal. The cast was fun. I love them bringing back the old characters like Daniel LaRusso's mom and just – it knew what it was, and it did it right, and I couldn't stop watching it. I got the free trial of YouTube Red. I canceled it after I was done, but I wanted to watch it again. I shouldn't have canceled it, but it just it fulfilled this childhood thing in me where I was watching it, and it was like I'm looking at my life now, and I'm looking at, you know, when I was a kid, their lives, and it was just like I traveled with them. To present time. And now that I live in LA, because when I saw Karate Kid, I was living in upstate New York. I always wanted to move to Reseda. I wanted to find Elizabeth Shue. Look all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those shows, movies I was obsessed with. And the fact that I've, you know, I live near there now, it's just kind of ironic, you know, 30 years later. But it just, this show really resonated with me. It hit my youth pop culture. I was so proud of the showrunners and the team that they stayed true to what it should be. And it really could have gone bad. They could have really screwed this up, but they didn't. They did it the right way. It made a lot of sense. And it's just a phenomenal show. It's my favorite of the year. It really did it for me. And the fact that they're using season two, I'm ecstatic. But even if they didn't, it would have, you know, I would have been fine with it.
Yes, I have to agree with everything you said. Once again, this show was so much better than I thought it was going to be. It took the spirit of those films, which, I mean, by this point, to me, I guess, has become a little bit hokey. I didn't really remember. I liked Karate Kid, you know what I'm saying? But I guess I didn't. Going into it, I was like, okay, I remember you told me I got to watch it. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to watch it. And I then watched the entire season, I think in one sitting, because it is so much fun. And I just want to give a shout out to Hayden Schlossberg from Livingston, New Jersey, where I was born. And this dude was the guy who created Harold and Kumar. He wrote Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, Go to Amsterdam, Guantanamo. He wrote all the Harold and Kumars, and he is the showrunner for this. He's the series creator for Cobra Kai, and he really put it together. That aesthetic of remembering that being like the way Stranger Things does it successfully without hitting you over the head too much. Sometimes they do it a little too much. I thought that this had nostalgia without being annoying about it. And again, the acting in it was great. And we both agree that what's his name? William Zabka.
Yeah.
I think this guy should be like the next Marvel superhero or bad guy or something. I like the way that they dealt with kind of the political correctness, and there was a little bit of a political thing going on here too, you know?
There was, yeah. But for me, being a non-political guy, it worked for me because he's so like 80s, Guns N' Roses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it did, because he had that kind of retro male toxic masculinity thing going, and that was what Cobra Kai was all about, and you had to address that. It's a modern tale. And then you had Ralph Macchio, who's trying to be, you know, oh, he's the good guy, Danny LaRusso, everybody loves him, but is he really that good? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, isn't he a bit controlling? Isn't he kind of like a bit into the money and the objects and having, you know what I mean? Like, so they kind of played a good, I don't know how to say, like they played them against each other in that respect and kind of evened them out, you know, and made them both the heroes of the show. Because at the end of the season, I think it's fair to say you don't really know who's the hero, who's the protagonist, who's the antagonist. It's really your point of view.
Yeah, especially with the cliffhanger, which unfortunately I got spoiled on while I was on YouTube. So when you watch it, just go to the episodes. Don't look at interviews.
I'm not gonna look at any of that stuff. But yeah. I think this.
No. I mean, like for people who are gonna watch it.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like, oh, let me check out the interview. Oh, great. They showed a clip of the last
YouTube,
episode.
But they don't care, dude. They'll like, you know, YouTube will make a video with a spoiler in the title so you watch it more.
It's nothing like, oh, my God, like in Lost you're going to get. But it's, it sets up the second season.
It doesn't matter because you want to see the character development.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think it was great. The kids were great. And that one kid is a really good fighter too.
Yeah.
So that kind of took me off guard. I was like, wow, they actually choreographed they took the fighting up a notch too, the choreography of the fighting. So all in all, I couldn't suggest, I've told like 100 people to watch Cobra Kai. They've all said they loved it.
Just like the one line, like instead, you know, in the original Karate Kid, it was like, Danny LaRusso's going to fight. Now it's like, Danny LaRusso's going to coach? Or what? Like, it's just those little subtleties.
Yeah, dude. Yep. It was great, man.
Because I remember the film so well. Like, yeah. It's worth it. I mean, they'll do flashbacks in the show to show you, but it's good. I would watch the movie if you're going to watch Cobra Kai just so you can get
– It's fun.
Relive some of the moments, and then it's the perfect companion to it. So
That's
why it's my number one, baby.
Yeah, I forgot that part, Solo, that they add in the flashbacks are real clips from the movies. And when they first did that, I was like, this is so cool. Like, it actually works, you know? It was
big time.
It was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. So I'm glad they're doing another season of it. Yeah, that's coming out pretty soon. I think they shot it already.
Yeah, they shoot it in Atlanta.
There you go. Cool.
Cool. All right, brother. That's the list. Top 10 of 2018.
Yep.
Wow.
I like it. So let's review really quick.
Okay.
My honorable mentions were Killing Eve, Looming Tower, and Jack Ryan. Then I had Survivor and Atlanta at 10, Cobra Kai at 9, Lodge 49 at 8, Westworld at 7, Homecoming 6, The Americans 5, You 4, Haunting of Hill House 3, The Terror 2, and Better Call Saul at number 1. What were yours, Solo?
My honorable mentions were Handmaid's Tale Season 2, The Sinner Season 2, Westworld Season 2. And technically Homecomings, I didn't mention as an honorable mention, but it definitely is up there. My top 10, number 10, Law & Order SVU, number 9, Bodyguard, number 8, Escape at Dannemora, number 7, The X-Files, number 6, Killing Eve, number 5, Sharp Objects, number 4, The Alienist, number 3, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, number 2, The Americans, and number 1, Cobra Kai.
Nice, baby. All right. Thank you, Solo. And again, I will be back on Friday. I know you have a question for me. What's your question?
Real quick. So is it worth watching The Mayans on FX? I know it didn't make any of your top 10 or honorable mentions.
That's a good question because I covered it here on the show. And
okay.
I think it is worth watching it. It's a little bit of a slog, I have to admit, because the episodes are like an hour and a half each. But I think it's going to be better in the second season. So I would say yes. I thought about it and it did not make my list. But I still think it's worth watching.
Okay, because I have it saved on the DVR and plan to watch it one of these days. And just real quick, we got some upcoming shows like we've mentioned in the last film list we did. The third season of True Detective is coming upon us. Killing Eve is having another season in 2019. And also that Chris Pine show on TNT with the Wonder Woman with Patty Jenkins about the Black Dahlia.
I think it's
stuff.
I Am the Night.
I Am the Night or This Is the I Am the Night.
Yeah.
That one I'm really looking
that
forward to as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a bunch of others that are coming up, but yeah, man. Look forward to 2019. Happy New Year to everyone. And thanks for having me on, brother.
Yes, of course, he's Solo. And I'm going to be definitely covering True Detective Season 3, and you are invited. I will ask you every week if you want to come on, and we'll do like a half hour on each episode here on Daily DVR. Perfect. Probably end up doing that on like Wednesdays or something like that.
Okay.
Give a little time because I think it's going to be Sunday night and that's going to be a lot of fun. And again, I'll be back on Friday where I will go over lists from my cousin Eileen, Brett, Gina, Andy, Scott, DJ Tim Hines, and I'm probably forgetting other people. And so I'm giving it a little bit more time. Send in your list. I'll do a super long episode. I'll go over. Maybe I'll find someone to co-host with me. But if not, I'll have all my co-hosts via email. So I appreciate all the time and effort everyone took to send in their list. You can catch us at dvrpodcast@gmail.com with that list. You can also find us on Twitter at @dvrpodcast. Join our Facebook group. Eileen's going off. She's putting a lot of comments on there. I love it. She talked a lot about the Christmas movies and we got conversations happening over there, so check that out. And again, thank you, Solo, for giving us your time and energies. And go out and watch these shows if you haven't seen them. I'll let you take us out, Solo.
Well, to everyone, hope 2018 is in the rearview mirror because 2019 is coming. And we're going to have a great year, a lot of great stuff planned, and just life in general. Everyone be safe. Happy New Year. And remember, listen to that DVR podcast every day, baby.
Yeah. Peace out.